All right, would you open your Bibles to the book of Galatians? We kind of hit and miss a few lessons out of this book, and we're just going to jump back in there tonight. Certainly want to welcome all of you who are here and always thinking about those who are not. And what I know I would be missing had I not been here and studied with the saints, been together through different lessons that are taught. And so it is important for us to remember that and maybe be an encouragement to others. Galatians chapter 3, at verse 16, we read these words, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that a law which was 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." One more, Galatians chapter 3, and we look at verses 26 through 29. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Great texts that remind us of who we are. We are a very special people to God. When we think about this, I am an heir of Abraham through faith. And all of you who are members of the body of Christ are the same. And we think about those who are of faith. They are the sons of Abraham. And we're not talking about lineage. We're not talking about how we can look back at all the birth records before us and figure out that somehow we're connected to Abraham by blood, because that's not at all what Paul's talking about. It's just as Abraham believed God, he says in Galatians chapter 3. And the idea that faith is something that we must have in order to please God. It's impossible to do it otherwise. And so we were thinking about this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Abraham's faith was accounted to him for righteousness, Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And so the kind of faith that Abraham had is the kind of faith we want to have, and it's what connects us spiritually. It isn't by blood. That's not at all what he's saying. It is by faith in Christ Jesus. And so obviously we look at this and we see that those things are intertwined. They're connected. And by those, we think of who it is with faith. And faith, indeed, are the sons of Abraham. Indeed, only those of faith are the sons of Abraham. We read that in Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 7. So very important, this idea of being of Abrahamic faith. We think of his faith and we realize that he's the one that left his home and everything that he really had in his possession. He left it all behind. He packed up what he needed and just by faith went out into a land that he had never seen. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't even have a map. God didn't write it down and say, go up this street, turn right, and go up that road and turn left and go for 100 miles and then stop in this city and have something. There was no road map. It was just simply by faith, you head out, and he trusted God. He's the one who by faith was willing to take the son of promise, Isaac, and sacrifice him, because God said, take your son Isaac and sacrifice him. That's real faith. And of course we learn from the Hebrew letter that he believed with his heart that God could raise Isaac from the dead, and he was perfectly willing to strike him with that knife and to burn him on the altar, but it didn't happen because the angel of the Lord stopped him and recognized his great faith and said, God knows. And so that's the Abraham that we're thinking of, and that's the kind of faith that we want to copy or exemplify in our own life, right? This is what the seed of promise is all about here, how he had reference to that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. That's from Genesis chapter 12 rather, and verse 3. And so it is those of faith who are literally blessed with Abraham. You know, this is what that seed of promise is all about. And it's those of faith who are blessed. The saved are the ones he's talking about. Those who are of faith, obedient faith, who were like obedient Abraham, who because of his faith was pleasing to God. We also, when we walk in obedient faith, we're pleasing also to God in our faith. So we're talking about the saved. We're not talking about people who say they have faith. We're talking about the people who have been baptized into the body of Christ, people who are members of that body, people who walk in faith just, of course, as believing Abraham. That is those who seek to be justified, of course, by the law. Those are not the people who are of faith. Many people in Israel, if we look over in the book of Romans, chapter 9 for a moment, in Romans chapter 9, we look at it, verse 31 through 32. We're not talking about the kinds of people that were, quote, Jews, who were so stuck on the law, right? So as hard as they won, they tried to please God, but they could not succeed. Look at verses 31 and 32 of Romans chapter 9, where Paul writes, but Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And I can read on to the last verse there. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So that kind of sums it all up. Israel's pursuing the law, pursuing righteousness, but they can't attain that through the law or through their own righteousness. That's why they never arrived, right? No one can achieve righteousness by obeying the law of Moses. And why? Verse 32 tells us exactly why. For they stumble at the stumbling stone, and that stumbling stone was Jesus. The Peter talks about the Jesus being the cornerstone, which the Jews rejected. And the saints of the church accepted him. And so they sought to establish their own righteousness. Romans chapter 10, 1 through 13, Paul wanted nothing more than for them to come to repentance. Right? Verse 1. And when you continue reading there, verse 2, they had zeal. Like many people today have a great zeal. You know, they're all excited that it's almost impossible to hold them down when they think about Jesus. But that zeal was not according to knowledge, Paul says in verse 2. And Paul said that they, being ignorant, they sought their own righteousness, unwilling to submit to the righteousness of God. Right? And it's something like Brother Mike this morning brought out, in his lesson that, you know, they just can't get their thoughts aligned with God. His thoughts were higher than their thoughts, right? His ways are higher than their ways. And they couldn't get it together and try to understand really the purpose when it came to the New Testament with the Messiah that was coming. They hung on to old thoughts, misplaced thoughts, thoughts that were not according to knowledge. And they just couldn't accept the simple truth, the word of faith, which the apostles preached. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 is something that, you know, this is quoted time and time again by many churches. It's almost what they call the Roman road to salvation. Verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You think that through. And the idea here, confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ, that God raised Jesus from the dead, is something we all have done. We believe in Jesus Christ, in the resurrection of Christ. We believe that He is the Son of God, and He is our Savior. And so we make that faithful confession. But the problem is, the Jews at that time, and early people, even the Gentiles, some, they just could not accept the simplicity of the gospel. And so, the fact is there, as a result, they were under the curse of the law, right? They were not of faith, not those who are of the works of the law. They can't be saved through that kind of work. Galatians, again, going back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which were written in the book of the law. Right? So Moses confirmed that the cursed was everyone who does not confirm all the words of the law, observing all the commandments. And listen, these things have been abolished, the law of Moses, the Old Testament law. All these things have been abolished by prophecy. We read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, what are we reading there? Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness is everyone who believes. And so Jesus brought an end to that law. Jesus wiped out the handwriting that was contrary to us, Colossians chapter 2 and 14. He took it out of the way and he nailed it to the cross. There is no more old law. We now live under the law of Christ. And that's what real faith is all about. And that's what the Jews struggled with. We know that the law proclaimed all men to be sinners, Romans chapter 3, verses 10. Through 20, we read in verse 23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let's go back there in Romans and let's just read that because it's significant to our faith. Romans chapter 3 and verses 10, beginning at verse 10. And this is what we read. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. Their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so again in verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we want to make sure that we understand that that law brought people to the knowledge of sin. It wasn't something that was able to be handed down from generation to generation and accomplished in 100% of the time. So we've been justified by grace, and that's what faith brings us to. We have redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so those who are of faith are not those who are of the works of the law. We're not justified in any way, shape, or form by the law. And that law, of course, was foretold in Habakkuk. A certain component of the law, somebody who tries to keep the law, really is pride, right? I can do this, I can do that, I can keep this, I can keep that. There's that component of pride to those who try to accomplish having a relationship with a spiritual creator, our God. It can't be done. The law required perfect obedience, which nobody, not us, not anyone before us, apart from Jesus Christ, was able to accomplish. In Leviticus chapter 18, you shall keep the statutes of my judgment, God said, which of man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord your God. Can't be done. There is no way to be perfect apart from Jesus Christ. And so to those who Christ has redeemed, they are redeemed from the curse of the law. He took that curse away from us, and he did that in a very special way. Christ redeemed the Jews from the law. He became a curse for us, the scripture says, right? He died for us on that tree, Galatians 3 and 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, we read that he made him who made us alive, he had no sin, God made him to be sin. And let's be careful with that. God made him to be sin for us that we might become the righteous of God in him. And we want to be sure that we don't misunderstand. Jesus did not become a sinner. He did not become a sinner on that cross, right? For that would mean that he couldn't be the perfect sacrifice. He couldn't have been the Lamb of God hanging on a cross, pure without sin. We need to connect those dots. Make sure that we understand this. Jesus became the propitiation for our sin. And through his blood, through faith, he demonstrated righteousness because of his forbearance, the scripture says. God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. We read that in Romans chapter 3 and at verse 25. Now, what does this come to get? Forbearance. The Bible term forbearance is a patient restraint. It's a holding back of judgment or wrath, especially in response to sin or wrongdoing. God demonstrated his forbearance by delaying punishment, and he did that to give every single one of us, every single soul on earth, an opportunity to be saved, to be repented, to repent and be saved. And so we think about that. He bore our sins in his own body, on that tree. Jesus bore our sins. That didn't mean he became sin. He was the propitiation for our sins. That act of obedience that pleased God and appeased God. He was on that tree dying for our sins, that he might, forgive us. And then, of course, by his stripes, Peter says we are healed. So those whom Christ have redeemed, they are redeemed from the curse of the law. So Jesus, he offers redemption against every lawless deed. And that is all done through his blood, proving the forgiveness of sin, or providing rather the forgiveness of sin. We read that those who are in him have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Jesus did this in a way that nobody could have ever done. Not with the blood of goats and bulls or calves, with his own life, his own blood, he entered the most holy place one time for all, having obtained eternal redemption, Hebrews chapter 12. No, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. So now then, if we walk in the light, this is all about faith. The light's all about the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, the teaching of God, the doctrine of Christ. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all our sins. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. So very important. And those whom Christ has redeemed, they're recipients of the blessings of Abraham. We're recipients of the same blessing. We're blessed because God promised Abraham that all the nations would be blessed because of his faith. Even the Gentiles in Galatians chapter 3 and at verse 14 again, what did he say? He said that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Powerful. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In Abraham, because of his faith and because we mimic that kind of faith, we read about Abraham and all the things that he did by faith, and we admonish those things in our, and put them away in our own heart. In as indicated in the promise of Abraham, he says, in your seed, right? Genesis chapter 22 and verse 16, God says, I myself have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. What does that reference? Abraham's faith. Galatians 3:16, Galatians 3:16, we read these words, and knowing that a man, 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, that's who is Christ. Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:16. And now Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he doesn't say to seeds as of many. He's talking about one seed, faith in Jesus Christ, the righteous one. They've received the promise of the Spirit. The Spirit, Jesus promised to those who believe. We read John 3, or 7 rather, 37 through 39. And let's read that and understand the Spirit that was promised. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we want to look at verses 7. And I apologize. John chapter 7, 37 through 39. We can read John chapter 3, but it doesn't apply. All right, John chapter 7. 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. And he says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Pertinent. We can have a kind of faith. We can believe in Jesus Christ, apply all of his teachings, all the words to our own hearts, and they in turn will flow like rivers of living water from us. That's something that faith does for us. Those whom Christ has redeemed, they're recipients of the blessings of Abraham. And we think that, you know, which Paul reminded the Galatians who had received that through faith. He asked them, how did you receive the Spirit? Was it through the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And so that promise which agreed to give the Spirit to all who rendered obedience to faith. And we understand from Acts chapter 2, that wonderful time in the day of Pentecost when they asked Peter and the rest of the brethren, what must we do to be saved? And Peter answered, in faith the things that Jesus commanded, that they are to repent and be baptized, every one of them, to receive the forgiveness of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And to all of those who did such in faith were added to the body of Christ, the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, for the promises to you and to all your children who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So those whom Christ has redeemed, Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So I'm hoping that this helps us to understand what's going on when we talk about being the seed of Abraham, being sons of Abraham, and being blessed as Abraham was through Abraham's faith. Through faith in Christ Jesus, though, all who have become the sons of God, it makes a big difference. We become the sons of God, as we're told in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, through faith in Christ Jesus. John chapter 8 and verse 24, you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. You will die in your sins. John chapter 6, verse 69, Jesus, that's where I love this text. You know, we've come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I love that. That's exactly the right answer to all the questions concerning faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 and 2, where Paul, you know, the risen Christ, the reality of our faith, that's what it's all about. I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which you have received, in which you stand, Paul says, and which by which you also are saved, Paul said. And if you hold, he said, if you hold fast to that which I preached, unless you become, believe in vain. So we need to hold fast to the words of God, all the scripture that was written by the breath of God. We need to study it and make ourselves approved unto God. And when we do that, we're taking this in. We're able to stand fast on the word of God, and so that we will be saved. Romans chapter 10, again, verse 9, he says, what does he say? He says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be or shall be saved. So, through faith in Christ Jesus is a privilege offered to all those who believe. Who believe they're given the right to become the children of God. And when we think of that, how their faith leads them to become children of God, explained in Galatians 3 and 27, for as many of us have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. And so at that point, we become the sons of God. Right, as many as receive Him, He gave them the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name, John chapter 1 and verse 12. So those who believe are given the right to become the children of God. And so we become the sons of God through faith, through our baptism, as we just quoted, not carefully with conjunction, or note rather, carefully, that word for. You know, he says for. Paul explains that for, as many of us. In other words, he explains how they become the children of God by faith in Christ. And it was when they put Christ on in baptism. That's what that brings us to, that knowledge, that understanding. Baptism is one being buried with Christ. We read that in Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 through 8. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. And he tells us, Romans chapter 6, where he says, do you not know, as many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? or do, As many of us, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died in Christ, we believe that we also shall live in with Christ. So baptism, that's when we're united. That's when we're clothed with Christ. So I think it's a simple lesson, but it's something that should help us to know that we need to increase our faith on a daily basis, because those who are heirs of Abraham are heirs to the promise that was given to Abraham. Those who walk by faith are walking in the footsteps not only of Paul and Jesus, but the Old Testament saints who obeyed God. Those who were redeemed in Christ are recipients of the promise that God gave to Abraham, the blessings, right? We become the children of God through faith, the same way Abraham pleased God, faith in Jesus Christ, having clothed ourselves with Christ in baptism. And then we are also the heirs of Abraham regarding the seed, that promise that was preached so many years ago to Abraham, that all the nations would be blessed through him. That lineage that Abraham had with Abraham, Isaac, and so on, that's not what we're talking about here. Not keeping the law of Moses, those who seek salvation through the doctrines of men, none of that has anything to do with it. It goes back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 that we already read, and we'll close with this reading. Galatians chapter 3. And verses 27 and following. I'm going to read verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So there you have it. We need to have faith like Abraham. We need to be walking in the same kind of footsteps. Wherever God leads, we need to go. And so if God's leading us to be baptized, that's something we need to do. If he's leading us to evangelize, that's something we must do. If he's leading us to a form of repentance, that's something that we must do. That way we're standing in the same footsteps as Abraham, as the Apostle Paul, as Peter, James, John. Right down the line, we need to be able to proclaim our faith before God. So if you have any need this night, whatever that need might be, please don't hesitate. We have this invitation extended, whether that invitation is for baptism or repentance equally. They're both very, very important. Robert selected song number 813, 813, for the invitation. So please, if you have a need, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.